The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take. Thank you so much for being with us. Tim Hasselbeck is here. Always good to see you, sir. Stephen A. Smith, Kimberly Martin. I'm Molly. And normally I would joke about you being in your brother's seat, but I'm on business mode today. So shall we get right into it?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. The controversial blockbuster trade. The Cleveland Browns have acquired Watson in a trade with the Houston Texans for 3 first-round picks, as well as a 3rd, 4th, and 5th round pick. The Browns are set to give Watson a new 5-year, $230 million contract. This is a $48 million raise over what he was scheduled to make under his current contract. The full $230 million is guaranteed, sources says, setting a record for highest guarantee given to an NFL player. Keep in mind, Watson still faces 22 civil lawsuits alleging sexual misconduct and sexual assault. The Browns also protected Watson, even if he faces punishment by the NFL this season for his alleged behavior, because his base salary for 2022 is just over $1 million. Any per-game suspension can only be deducted from that amount, leaving at least $229 million untouched. Here's a statement from the Browns organization, D and Jimmy Haslam. We spent a tremendous amount of time exploring and investigating the opportunity to trade for Deshaun Watson. We are acutely aware and empathetic to the highly personal sentiments expressed about this decision. Our team's comprehensive evaluation process was of utmost importance due to the sensitive nature of a situation and complex factors involved. We also understand there are still some legal proceedings that are ongoing, and we will respect due process. We are confident in Deshaun and excited about moving forward with him as our quarterback and supporting his genuine and determined efforts. The attorney for the 22 women, Tony Busby, says not a single NFL team has reached out to him or the women. That would include the Browns. He said yesterday, in part, the Browns organization did not reach out to me. I didn't expect them to do so and can understand why they didn't. But knowing what I know, they probably should have. Okay, there's a lot to tackle here. Kimberly, I'd like to start with you because I know you have a wealth of information. What message are the Browns sending by investing in Watson?
Molly, thank you. The message is that there is nothing an NFL team will not overlook when you are an elite player. That's the bottom line. It's the talent. That's why the Cleveland Browns were willing to give $230 million guaranteed to this man. It's the talent. That is why there were several teams. We can talk about the Browns, but there were several teams long before the grand jury situation was resolved, where we were told, okay, there's not enough evidence for criminal charges to be pressed. Long before that, there were teams that knew they wanted Deshaun Watson. There were teams so desperate, so QB needy, that they said, you know what? These 22 allegations, these 22 lawsuits, okay, we can look past that because of the talent. And I think, you know, I tweeted over the weekend, there's reality and then there's NFL reality. And we can like it, we could hate it, it's what it is. It's the fact that despite these 2 civil lawsuits that still remain unresolved, teams are willing to give up this kind of money. But the money doesn't even matter to me. It's a lot. Trust me, it is wild, right? But it is the idea that not just the Browns, the Saints, the Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, the Eagles, the Seahawks, there were teams throughout this league that did not see these civil suits as an impediment. Because at the end of the day, all we care about is winning. When you don't have a quarterback, you will do whatever it takes to get one. And you look at Cleveland, which is a franchise that feels like we have for so long has been looking for the answer at quarterback. And it's the talent that made them say, you know what? Baker's not the answer. But this guy, we'll do enough due diligence. We will hire independent investigators to give us information on these plaintiffs, Our team counsel, actually, team counsel will advise teams not to reach out to the lawyer of these women, because you don't know if it could be misconstrued as you're impeding a criminal investigation. You don't know if Tony Busby would then hold a press conference and mention all the different teams that we now know were interested in Deshaun Watson. But that, to me, that's not enough. There were women who did not sue. Did any of these teams, forget just the Browns, did any of these teams reach out to those women? At the end of the day, what I go back to is there's no floor. There's no floor. Because all that matters in the NFL is winning. And that's what we have to wrap our minds around. We want the NFL to be a moral high ground. We want the NFL to reflect what we want to see in society. It is not that. It is a business. These billionaires, there's stuff that they will do things that regular people will not. That's why they're billionaires. That's the whole point. That, like, there's a shrewd business, you know, that's how you get to where you are. You have to be willing to do things that other people will not. This is a business at the end of the day. It's about selling seats. It's about trying to move on and having a quarterback that can win you Super Bowls.
You know, Tim, I want you to get involved here, but to me, it feels a bit like saving face and confirmation bias here.
Well, here's what I'd say. I think Kimberly is exactly right. We're going to focus so much on Cleveland because, like, Cleveland did the deal. But the reality is that the reason that he got the money that he got, yeah, the reason he got the new deal is because there was competition for him. Like, so, mm-hmm, like, you can be critical of Cleveland for doing it, but Cleveland was playing the same game as probably a quarter of the league was, mm-hmm, playing. So, you know, I think when you look at it in that regard, and then think about this, he had a market value contract. He signed a new contract not long ago. Like, he wasn't underpaid. Mm-hmm. They decided to tear that up,
yeah,
and give him $80 million more guaranteed than has, mm-hmm, ever been given to anybody before. Like, they changed the quarterback market. Like, remember when we talk about Dak Prescott, like, changing the quarterback? And Dak Prescott was, like, he's a great player on the field, perfect guy off the field, awesome leader in your locker room, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And he really didn't change the quarterback market. Like, Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns changed the quarterback market. And so, and then I think why the money does matter,
yeah,
is that because of how it's structured, it also insulates you from
punishment,
the pain of the punishment other than not playing, just because of the way that the bonus is structured in year one. The salary is roughly $1 million, so you could lose 60 grand a game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 60 grand a game for a guy that,
mm-hmm,
you know, is guaranteed $230 million. Listen, if it's 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, that takes the sting out of it. So, you know, I don't think that there's a hard message to decipher here from the Browns or the other teams that were interested. It's that talent wins out. And the other aspect of it is this, and let's just be real. Like, a lot of people have, I guess, in some ways, like, we've seen it happen. Like, so whether it's Tyreek Hill in his history, whether it's Joe Mixon in his history, whether it was Ben Roethlisberger,
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. The reality is, if a guy goes in and plays well, the team has success, everybody kind of just moves on. Like, that's just.
But let me just ask you quickly before we get Stephen A. in here. Obviously, as a husband, as a father, as a former quarterback, does it sit right with you when we talk about game-changing contract, $230 million guaranteed, even if you face punishment?
Like,
when you're facing
me,
22.
Did it feel good? No,
against,
I was,
yeah,
Molly, I
sexual
was
misconduct.
I was, I thought the teams would be, and I knew that teams were interested in
him. Of course,
him.
Yeah.
I did not think that he was going to get a new contract. Like, so, like, how does it, like, it certainly, I mean, it doesn't feel, I don't know how you can feel good. Like, I just, yeah, it's, look, there's a saying in the NFL, be who you can afford to be. Like, and so, look, if you're an undrafted free agent and they need you to carry water out to practice, like, you carry water out to practice. Like, you can be who you can afford to be.
You know, this is First Take. So
what we're going to do here is we're going to stop, not to say anybody did that this morning, but we're going to stop with a lot of the BS angles that a lot of people take when it comes to something like this. Let's get one thing straight. The man has 22 civil cases against him. That is not a good look. You have people out there that are justifiably absolutely disgusted at the fact that this man would be in a position to get this money. That's one angle. Here's the other angle. There are people who want to come to his defense, reminding us that, A, there were no criminal charges brought against him. Those criminal charges were dropped. And B, he claims he's innocent. Because you got people in his camp, and I know because I spoke to them since the deal went down, where they're like, he's innocent. He's innocent. Now, when you say one or two, yeah, that's bad enough. When you got 22 cases against you, damn it, where there's smoke, there's fire. The term that I use, Tim, is that if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it ain't a damn mongoose. Something's up. Something's up. We got that part. But we're not the law. And as a result, we're not in a position to definitively say whether he's guilty or innocent. All we can say is that this looks very, very bad. And we're certainly not going to just shove aside the accusations and allegations that have been levied against him. We'd love to hear from him. We'd love to see what he has to say to explain why you found yourself in a position where 22 cases have been handed against you. Now we get to the NFL. Because what happens is we live in a society today where whatever the legal system can't do, we feel compelled to make sure we do. I'm talking about in terms of the NFL, the league itself, the media, society, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let's get to that. Let's get to the NFL. If you're the Cleveland Browns, one could easily argue, what are you supposed to do? You haven't won a championship since 1964. Jim Brown was playing for the Cleveland Browns last time they won a championship. I wasn't born, and I'm 54. I wasn't even born the last time. There's a city that's starving for a winner that has lamented the fact that they have been losing. And they're looking from the days of Bernie Kosar to the days of Baker Mayfield, and they're saying, yo, we got a stud. We got somebody that can compete against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. We got a brother right here that can win us a Super Bowl. And last time we checked, this city has been literally in a state of depression, spanning decades because they knew they didn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning anything. So we got to compete. Philadelphia wanted him. Atlanta wanted him. New Orleans wanted him. The list goes on and on. And what this dude said, according to his, I mean, if you listen to his side, they're sitting up there leaking information. There's an innocence here. Excuse me. That's why the NFL hasn't done anything yet. And you better believe that the teams checked with the NFL to kind of gauge what kind of punishment is coming down the pike. Because we got all of these teams that's interested in him. There's no way that they're interested in him right now. If they've heard the news, don't expect him to play next season. He ain't coming. There is no doubt in my mind that many teams, because I heard it was as many as 13 teams, guys. 13 teams. Mm-hmm, sure. You only heard the finalists. I heard 13 teams was interested in Deshaun Watson. So if 13 teams are interested in him, nobody called the league office and said, hey, what kind of punishment is coming down the pipe for this brother? They took Ben Roethlisberger into consideration. Just an allegation. He got 6 games and was ultimately reduced to 4. Michael Vick, he was incarcerated. So the legal system took care of him. And then you got other situations where people have been accused, but cases have been settled. As a result, they come back. They get a few games, but ultimately that's what it's going to come down to. So now you get to the National Football League office. And you say, what standard should they have? Especially when somebody like Calvin Ridley has been suspended for the entire year for just betting $1,500. Well, the NFL's response is, from what I've been told in terms of their thinking, well, there's proof there that that guy was guilty of compromising the integrity of the game because you bet on the game, whether directly or indirectly. Whereas in these cases, well, it's, he says one thing, they said another. The legal system isn't throwing him in jail. And as a result, He's available for his services. This is the stance that they take. So, again, it looks bad. There is no question about that. But before we look at the Cleveland Browns, you got to blame the whole, you have to blame 12 other teams, and you're going to have to blame the league. And it comes down to, what do we think is should be a definitive punishment for this situation? Because a lot of times people look at the NFL and say, Molly, I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
They're going to say, they'll look at the league and they'll say, make a decision. What should happen? And what I want to know is, from the Mollies of the world, from the Kimberlys of the world, Mary Kay Cabot, from Cleveland Plain Dealer, she's coming on the show, from Nancy Amore in the USA Today. What I want to know is, based on this situation right here, it's no longer a criminal case, it's a civil case. Yep. What exactly do you think should happen to Deshaun Watson?
Well, there's a lot of things I want to get into.
Sure.
So as far as the civil aspect, right? So we don't know whether he's won or lost any of those cases. So there's still a lot of information that
we
don't have. But when you talk about the rule, like Calvin Ridley with the betting on games, that was a full season. And then when we're talking about, I have an issue with the rule to begin with, because domestic abuse, child abuse, sexual assault, it's six games. Tom Brady got four games for deflated footballs.
Yes.
So you can abuse a child, you can abuse a woman, and you get two more games. So that's a problem in itself that the NFL needs to address. Then we're talking about this particular situation. I want to go back to the Browns organization, okay? So let's deem Deshaun Watson, you know, it is innocent. They don't know this yet. So they said that they did their due diligence in terms of an investigation. Well, you didn't speak to the lawyer and you didn't speak to any of the women. So could we have some transparency on how you got here? How did you vet this situation? How about you share that with the public? Because based on their independent investigation, how do we know there wasn't just a confirmation bias to make it work so they could get Deshaun Watson?
My challenge to that last assertion you just made is that anytime there's a legal matter that comes up, every client is advised to shut the hell up. It don't matter what it is. I don't know. Listen. I've had issues, and I ain't never been in trouble with the law.
And,
What I'm saying
what
is when you say, in other words, when you say they didn't talk with the lawyer, they investigated. Well, here's what they investigated: is he gonna play?
Right.
Is he gonna be allowed?
Yeah, they didn't talk to the women. And there's 22 women.
I understand that. We know that.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. What we're saying is the NFL. Let's call it what it is. Those individual teams don't care. That what they care about is, can he play?
Well, are they going to start caring about women? Because 42% of the fan base is female.
Well, and listen, nearly every ad that you see during a game, you know, is promoting, you know, the football is family. And you talk about advancements of women in coaching, women in the front office. Like, that's speaking with a forked tongue. There's no doubt about it. The thing I would say, and I think this is your point, Stephen, the teams, because of what you said about the history of the organization and, like, hey, trying to win, they're going to look around at the other 32 teams that are trying to do the same thing. The group that needs to be above that is the league office.
Right.
Because the teams are always going to have that temptation to, all right, let's not worry about this guy's off-the-field situation because he's a great player and he's going to help us win. But the league office, I don't know why it's taken so long for them. Because I think teams in some way, the teams themselves have a different goal than the league office. Listen, the league can do with it. You can move a player out of the league and survive. You're fine.
Yeah.
An individual player means a lot more to a specific team. The league office, think about how long this has been.
Right. But let me say this before Kimberly chimes back in. To answer your question, Molly, when the bottom line is affected, the fact of the matter is we just finished watching the NFL brag about record ratings. We see everybody clamoring for their product. When Colin Kaepernick got, you know, put himself in a position that he was in, why did the league come across as remotely capitulating? Because we found out their bottom line was affected. We found out that the owners believed and they had deduced that the Colin Kaepernick situation cost them 15 to 20% of their money.
But do you think that Deshaun Watson affects their bottom line if they punish him?
Do I think? No. I was talking about her question in terms of she was asking, why doesn't the league, you asked the question directly.
I asked a bunch of questions.
Exactly.
There's a lot on my mind.
I'm just talking about in terms of what the league's position may be or whatever. I'm saying when you want real change to take place, You got to affect their bottom line. Whatever way to, because they have shown you, if their bottom line doesn't get affected, neither does change. They've shown you that.
But what I'm saying about that is, you can argue that Deshaun Watson helps the bottom line for Cleveland. They win more games.
For Cleveland.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's an improvement for them. From the league's perspective,
it doesn't.
That is why there's confusion over
it's a terrible look.
Has taken you so long.
Yeah.
Why haven't you, you know, why haven't you handed down a punishment? Why have you been silent? Why haven't you talked about, you know, the investigation that you have done?
Exactly.
Kimberly.
So there's a lot to unpack here, as you guys are showing. Molly asked the question, when is the league going to care about women? You know, my favorite quote is Maya Angelou. When people show you who they are,
believe them.
Mm. We have seen the league dole out different punishments for different, you know, crimes, issues, Deflategate. There's everything. It just seems, you know, there's no rhyme or reason, it seems like, sometimes with the NFL as it doles out punishment. And the league cares about women when it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It cares about the female coach or the women coaches on staffs. But when it comes to a situation like this, Deshaun Watson he helps and he hurts the league, because all these teams that were interested in Deshaun Watson, they made the decision that there's a subsection of our fans who will be angry, but we can live with that. Because if he balls out, those same fans will be coming to fill seats. Because as soon as he wins games, which we expect he will, they will be in the stadium. And these teams making these decisions to go after Deshaun, we're okay with that. And we have to accept that this is... It's not okay. To me, it blows my mind that any team, would feel comfortable, man, woman, whatever. That, to me, gender irrelevant. Any team would feel good about these unresolved cases. But that's where we are. That's NFL reality.
But the question that I have, Kim, is this, and I don't disagree with a single word that you said. I'm just trying to get to the bottom because I think it's incredibly important. Particularly with issues involving women, domestic violence, sexual assault, things of this nature. Y'all voices are incredibly, incredibly profound as it pertains to what punishment should come down the pike. I really, really feel that way. And so when I'm thinking about the National Football League, right, here's my issue. Here's my question to y'all. At some point in time, again, what do you think should happen? Because we're talking business ethics and we're talking about the NFL lacking it, but we're also talking about a female audience out there that is profound. They're incredibly potent. You can affect the bottom line. And so if the NFL is sitting back and they're saying the legal system has made its decision, as a result, we can't prohibit him from playing in this league in our estimation. Well, what do you do about that? Come with a definitive answer.
To me, it's still premature because there's 22 lawsuits. There's 22 civil suits. I don't know whether he's won or lost. That's why I think it's premature by the Cleveland Browns to give this man the most guaranteed money ever, $230 million.
Okay, fair enough.
So we don't have those answers. So let me just say that.
Okay.
So first of all, I already think the rule's egregious in terms of 6 games for abusing children, women, sexual assault, domestic violence. All right. That rule needs to be changed. That's a minimum of 1 season. So, Deshaun Watson, if all these 22 women lied on him and he wins every civil case, right, all 22 of them, go for it, break the bank. But that's not where we are right now, and we need more information. We need more information also from the Browns on how they got here, how the NFL got here to make this decision.
I'm,
to answer your question,
right,
Stephen A., as far, and I understand it's a direct question, I just wanted to make those points, but as far as Deshaun Watson in terms of punishment, if he's losing these cases, he should not be playing this entire season. Maybe 2 seasons.
Okay, but no.
And that's why they gave him. That's why he only loses $1 million, Stephen A., because they know a punishment might come down. $1 million when you're about to get $220 million.
No.
That's a slap in the face to all women everywhere. I just need to say something. If he is guilty, Stephen A., right? Mm-hmm. If he loses these cases, he's going to lose. They protected him, so he gets all his money.
But I'm still asking the question.
I told you a season or two.
Because we don't know. In other words, for from a civil perspective, what's going to happen? Are you advocating that Deshaun Watson not be allowed to play until the civil cases are resolved?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm asking. Okay, Kimberly.
Unless they want to give us full transparency on what happened.
But I'm saying, that's what I'm asking. Because a lot of people are looking at it. And Kimberly, I need the same question. I got the same question to you. Are you of the mindset that without the 22 civil cases having been resolved, criminally, we know what the decision they've made. Civilly, he's still got the 22 cases against him. Are you of the mindset that Deshaun Watson should not be allowed to play this season?
The NFLPA would get involved. Like, that's the other piece of this, you know, that the NFLPA will protect its players because as it stands now, no criminal charges are going to be brought against him. So it's his word, their word, and we still don't know. The truth is in the middle, we assume. So it's very difficult for me to say he should never step on a field because these civil lawsuits haven't been resolved. And you know the NFLPA is going to have his back. The NFLPA is going to ensure that we don't just, because there are guys who are wrongly accused. You're not supposed to use the word accused, but there are guys that charges are brought against that are not valid. It's a small percentage compared to the women who are right, but there are no criminal charges being pressed against Deshaun Watson. And that doesn't mean he's innocent. That doesn't mean he's guilty. But it's very difficult right now to say what the punishment should be. That's why the NFL teams went out and said, you know what, if we're going to go after him, we're going to assume it's going to be 8 or 6 games. We're going to work off of that, and we're going to work backwards.
Let me just say one more thing, because I absolutely understand also that people can be lied on. That's why I made it very clear in what I said. And whether he wins or loses these 22 civil cases. So I just want to make that clear when I was giving the answer, Stephen.
But that's what I'm saying. And I knew that. I just felt that it was important to get y'all take on. Are you saying he shouldn't be allowed to play?
Here's the thing. Go ahead, Kimberly.
What bothers me about this is not because I'm a woman. We all should be men, women, whatever. We should be able to look at this and feel how we feel. It's not because I'm a woman that I should be talking about what I think Deshaun Watson's punishment is. That shouldn't be on the women. It shouldn't be on the women to be the moral high ground of anything.
As a man, let me be very, very clear. If he's guilty of this stuff, his ass should be thrown in jail. Period. That's where I'm at now. But if he's not guilty of it, then he should be allowed to play. And since we're caught in the middle, because the legal case against him has been dropped, but the civil cases still exist, which means there could be an attachment of guilt or complete exoneration, we don't know what the hell to do. And as a result of that, what position do you take? Should he play or should he not? And that's where the quandary comes in, because you could say, hey, he shouldn't be allowed to play. Hell with that. But the flip side to it is that if they come out and you find out that he was innocent and lied on, then damn. Now, if he's allowed to play, but you find out he was guilty, well, damn, too. Where are we at?
Well, and there's an element of the league
getting
involved where they essentially say, look, like, we're going to put you on the commissioner's exempt list. Like, this is what we're going to do. You're not going to be able to play until you resolve these issues.
Yes.
And so, like, there is a role the league can play.
Yeah.
And should
so they have used the commissioner's exempt list before?
Yeah, they have. And so by doing that, you're kind of forcing the player's hand. And I'm not saying that that's always going to be right either, but it is a tool to say, hey, we're not going to be dragging this on for years because, you know, we're just letting this play out and every motion filed. And now, you know, the criminal, you know, thing is gone. And now we have the civil cases. Like, you know, there's a way to say, all right, if you want to play football, if you want to get a new contract, you want all these things, like, we got to resolve this first, because otherwise we're going to put you on the commissioner exempt list. I think they did it with Adrian Peterson, you know, with his situation. So, like, there is a role to be played without having it be what you're saying, Stephen A., which is, hey, you're good to play, or hey, you're suspended for the year. Like, there is somewhere in between to help move it along.
If it's about money, if it's about him wanting to play, then that's different. It comes back to what I was talking about.
Yeah, and in terms of the PA, I would just say this in terms of the PA. We've seen the PA at times, and we saw it with Ray Rice. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an element. They are going to fight for their membership. There's no question about it. That's what they're there to do.
Right.
But they have not treated every situation the exact same. And there have been situations that they have taken a step back from because it is not representative of the entire membership.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That's totally true.
All I have to say is this. I was watching a lot of coverage on this story over the past week, and I was out Thursday, Friday at an event. But one thing I'm so grateful for the show is that we do have these real conversations, because it's uncomfortable to watch when it's just a conversation and they're only discussing the on the field and the money and not the entire picture. So I appreciate all of you.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
March Madness, let's go. How about Duke surviving a Michigan State scare to send Coach K to his 26th Sweet 16 appearance and his final dance? His young team will face Texas Tech in San Francisco next. So far, Coach K feeling
good. I love these kids. You know, they're becoming men, and they're so young. And we were young for a little bit at different times today, and they took advantage of it. And then we were so good in the last part of the game. I can't tell you how proud I am of them, because they believe in one another. And then, look, I'm 75. To have moments like that, you got to be kidding me. Really, how damn lucky can you be to be in that? And I want to share it. I don't want to just sit down and say, you guys enjoy it. I want to be in the party a little bit. Yeah, that's the enjoyment I've had for 47 years. And today was one of the really good days.
Coach K feeling all sorts of great.
Right.
There he is, the one and only Seth Greenberg. Yes,
I need
sir.
To say something before.
Sure.
Coach, I need to say something before I start asking you a question here. I want to give major, major props to Juwan Howard in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about a man who made a mistake, and I thought I was scared to death he was going to get fired. I thought he should have got suspended for the rest of the season because I wanted that to be the alternative to him getting fired. For them to play the way that they played was one thing, but for him to embrace that kid for Tennessee and to give him the encouragement and the advice, it was a beautiful, beautiful scene, emblematic of what the NCAA tournament is all about. So I was very happy to see Juwan Howard on the court, you know, basically being the person we all know him to be.
That's what I was going to say, the character that we all know of.
Yes.
Okay. Coach, you know, three words, New Mexico State. Okay? So I don't care about the tournament anymore. you already know it. I mean, it's just a joke. It's a joke. I thought it was going to be Arkansas. Arkansas fans came for me, and listen, I deserve it. Can I just, what? Today's a rough day for me.
You lucky you were off.
I know. It was bad. No one cares about UConn, though. They care about Duke. Coach, is Duke looking like a Final Four team?
In the last 5 minutes of that game, they showed championship DNA and identity. All season long, we said, will Duke make a commitment on a defensive end? They did that at the end of that game. Would Duke deal with the pressure of Coach K's senior night? They did that at the end of that game. Down five minutes to go. You got to get stops to get back in the game. They got stops. You got to play through Paolo Banchero at the end of the game. They played through Banchero. And then I thought Jeremy Roach was terrific. That three he knocks down right there. Yep. Was an actually huge moment. But facing their demons, the end of the game, playing through their best players, defending, getting stops, being physical, they showed a championship DNA.
Well, I give them credit where credit is due. They lost to North Carolina in their season in the home finale, Coach K's home finale. They got to the championship game, the ACC, lost to Virginia Tech. And I just said, you know what? They're playing for the tournament. Let's see if they show up. But I was definitely suspect. That's the Duke we expected to see weeks ago. So I'll give credit where credit is due. My mind, however, is on St. Peter's. Okay, that's where my mind is, okay? I'm thinking about the boys from New Jersey with a bunch of New Yorkers and New Jerseys on their squad, okay? All right, Shaheen Holloway got these boys balling. I mean, they beat Murray State. I mean, just talk to me about what we're seeing from these dudes. They beat a team that hadn't lost in 3 months. They took them down yesterday. Your thoughts about what we're seeing from St. Peter's?
Stephen A., you hit it right on the money. They're a bunch of city dudes. I mean, Shaheen Holloway is a New York guy. Obviously, he's coaching a bunch of New York and New Jersey guys that have a toughness and an attitude. Like, these two guys don't care about the name of the jersey on the front of the jersey
that's
what they're playing against. You know what? They'll play this game against Purdue. They'll play it at the Rucker. They'll play it at West 4th Street. They don't care where they're playing.
They'll
go shirts and skins. They don't care. They don't care about someone's pedigree. You know what they want to do? They just want to hoop. And then when they hoop, you know, they're going to be physical, they're going to be tough, they're going to get up underneath you, they're going to spread the court. Now, look, they have a tough task ahead of them. You don't think Kentucky was a tough task? You don't think Murray State was a tough task? These guys expect to win games because they just really don't care. This is their stage. They're playing on Broadway. They're enjoying every moment of it. And at the end of that game the other day against Murray, they walked off the court like, hey,
we this belong
is what
here.
We do. Hey, you know,
y'all surprised.
Who's
got
we
next? Ain't. That's what
exactly.
They did.
Hey, Stephen, you played in the park where you got a win to stay on.
That's right.
Those dudes right now, hey, you know what?
They're
winning, they stay on. That's just the way it is. Let's go to West 4th Street.
Right.
Let's go to the Rucker. Let's
that's
go
right.
hoop. That's their mindset.
See, that's why Coach is special.
He's talking
about
up? You ready to go?
Did you see what he said? He said West 4th. He said Rutgers.
Yep.
You understand? He ain't been 135th
Stephen
in the Harlem. But that's okay. He knows. That's what I'm talking about.
I live on 125th at Riverside.
Right.
I understand every park in
there
New York
we go.
City.
City College. No doubt. St. Nicholas. All of that.
Stephen A's ready for a quick pickup game, you know, in his three-piece suit and his Louboutins. And his
fancy vest.
Coach, before we let you go real quick, so Stephen A does a Stephen's A list. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And sometimes we have to say to him, you know, Stephen
please,
A, go back, revise it. It's usually wrong.
No.
There's usually a lot of
don't
holes.
That,
and we have to correct him.
It's
and he reworks it. You know,
never
like
that.
When you're back in school, you hand in your paper again to try to get a better
Stephen
grade.
Stephen A's on his shoulder right now.
Little Stephen A. Thank God he's not real. Coach, as far as your Final Four, do you need to revise it? Where are you right now?
Yeah, well, I had Kentucky and Iowa. I think I need to revise it. I'm in the top 97 percentile of the marathon bracket, so I feel pretty good about it. But you know, when you look at it, you know, Kentucky didn't do what they needed to do, so I gotta bop them. That's just the way it is. So I've got Arizona, I've got Gonzaga, I've got UCLA.
Now I got Texas Tech. Yeah,
I've got UCLA and. And I've got Kansas now.
Mm. Kansas looked good.
Remy Martin, man. Remy Martin's balling. He's a shot creator. He can score. Takes a little pressure off those wing guys.
That was a great game
David
against Colgate.
David McCormick's playing well.
That was a great game. Colgate played a great game. Got to give him credit where credit's due. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Coach, you're the best. You know, do me a favor. Check on Coach Hurley, though. I'm worried about his stress levels.
Believe me, I'll be checking on him sometime this week.
You know? My stress level?
Yeah. You can smile all you want to because you're a pro on camera, but you hurt real bad because you conned home like I told you they'd be. This is a different story for another day. We could go on, Coach.
Wait, hold on. Is Trey Young coming to the Garden? Oh, I wonder how that's going to go for your Knicks.
Another loss at Madison Square Garden.
My Knicks also. I was there when Willis came out of the tunnel. I'm one of the few people still alive that was there.
Right. Listen, 2 days off weren't enough. Coach, thank you. Coming in hot on a Monday. All right, let's get to the pros. LeBron James continuing to make history in defining his legacy, passing Karl Malone for the second most career points in NBA history in the Lakers' 29-point loss to the Wizards. He now sits just 1,441 points shy of passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points in NBA history. LeBron took to Instagram to recognize the achievement, saying in part, "I love this game and will do anything for it. I am having a blast." Where's my guy, Kendrick Perkins?
Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah.
What's he doing here?
He always puts a smile on my face.
Well, he's not supposed to be here during the NCAA tournament. He's not supposed to be here.
I'm right here.
He's not supposed to be here. He's not supposed to be bothering me on a Monday morning for the NCAA, with the NCAA tournament going on.
He's an NBA champion. Have some respect. Kendrick Perkins, is LeBron underappreciated as a scorer? Because this is one impressive milestone.
You know what, Molly? Stephen A. and I talked about this last week, and we talked about LeBron James moving the goalposts, and I had to rethink things. You know what? For a guy that has 36,000-plus points, we don't give him enough credit. You know why? Because we have a preference. It's almost like people who like to drink, okay? Some people like to drink Hennessy. Some people like to drink Ciroc. But the one thing that they both have in common is that they're going to get you drunk. And I think when we look at scoring-wise, we all have preferences, right?
We like
to see the between the legs, the crossover, the mid-range pull-up. We like to see the turnarounds over both shoulders. We like to see it all. Hell, Karl Malone made a lot of his buckets off the pick and roll. But at the end of the day, they are buckets. And I think we look at LeBron James, because he's a complete basketball player, because he makes guys around him better, that we take for granted his dominance on how he got those buckets in the paint. You know, before he started shooting this three at a high clip. Yes, he may not be the best free throw shooter, but at the end of the day, he still has 36,000-plus points. And by the time he's finished, he will be the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. So, yes, I do think he's underappreciated.
That is ridiculous. But I got to tell you this, man. From now on, I got a new name for Kendrick Perkins.
What?
We going to call him Uncle Perk. We going to call him Uncle Perk. Right? He sounds like the uncle at the barbecue, man. He sounds just like the uncle at the barbecue, man. I mean, who would come up with that analogy?
At the end of the day, you're still going to get drunk.
I mean, that's only Perk. That's hilarious. It's just hilarious. Let me tell you this, man. I don't think underappreciated should ever be associated with LeBron James. LeBron James is vastly appreciated. I often say we will miss him when he's gone.
Oh, for sure.
And what I really appreciated when he broke the record and he talked about what it meant to him and what have you, he talked about the responsibility of showing up as often as you possibly can. Because I think today's generation of players, and one of the things I'm guarding against and I'm very protective of, is a player feeling the responsibility to show up. That's why you've seen me going off on so many people this year, because they're missing games. You wouldn't hear me doing that if they're playing. There's plenty of brothers that's playing that they got up nights, they got down nights, they're struggling, they're exploding, whatever the case may be. And we'll talk about it on a case-by-case basis. But you don't see me living in it, okay? And the reason why is because they show up. That's why, by the way, as an aside, Kendrick Perkins, Carl Anthony Towns, you listening. My brother, I would never call you classless. I said that particular moment was with the whole Russell Westbrook thing, which Kendrick Perkins disagreed with me to some degree about. I said, but only because you are who you are, Carl Anthony Towns. We know how great you are, and I know how great of a person you are. So don't misconstrue what I was saying. I was just talking about that moment for you because more was expected of you. Because not only is he a star player, but he's also there all the time. Carl Anthony Towns don't miss too many games. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you look at the availability that LeBron focused on. I give him all the credit in the world because he's lived by that. And he's been a consummate professional. But what I would tell you is that we're addicted to him playing, scoring 25 to 27 a night, KP. The difference is LeBron is a winner. When you got four chips, when you go to eight straight NBA finals, 10 over the course of your career, it's not that it's underappreciated. It's that it's expected. So in other words, okay, so we know. In other words, think about it. When we talk about LeBron on a game-to-game basis, tell me one time that we show up and go like this. Well, he might not. I hope he scores 20 points. I hope he scores 20.
He's the king.
Who says that?
Yeah.
Right. We know. I mean, we're surprised. if he doesn't. You see what I'm saying? It's the other things that come with this game. His passing ability, his decision making, his leadership, and ultimately wins.
Yep.
That's why. He's not underappreciated. It's just that more than scoring is what's expected of him. There's a difference.
Hey, big perk. We're up against it here. Yep.
Okay.
I'll give you the last one.
You wasn't here when we talked about Braun. Listen. Braun, stop with the Instagram post talking about, oh, he's not a scorer, because you're the one that painted the picture years ago and said you didn't want to be labeled as just a scorer. You want to be labeled as a complete basketball player.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we're giving you credit for. It's not that we're dissing your buckets. It's that you the one that said you wanted to be labeled as a complete player. You said it, not us. Not me, not Stephen A., not Molly, you.
One of the great things about Uncle Perk, because that's what we're going to call him from now on, Uncle Perk.
And Perkisms.
We're going to call him Uncle Perk. He's the uncle at the barbecue. We're going to call him Uncle Perk. One of the great things about him is that you'll be hard-pressed to find anybody that remembers quotes from players more than him. Uncle Perk, remember, when you say something as a player, now, I mean, ain't nobody got my memory, but when you say something as a player,
you do have an impressive
when you say something as a player, Uncle Perk going to catch you. Yeah. He going
to
remember.
Perk hangs on to that. Mm-hmm. Hey, Perk, before we let you go, let me just put a bow on this whole segment. I got to say, it doesn't look like you've been having Hennessy or Ciroc, looking very slim, just like your steam room cardio water. So I see you putting in that work.
Yeah,
I see you slimming down.
Yeah,
I see you, big fella.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm keeping it on the low.
Molly.
You look good.
I love my brother Perk.
Yeah.
Ain't no way in hell he ever looks slim.
No, I can tell he lost weight.
Put on your glasses.
No, I can tell. His face is slimmer.
These are Molly's glasses. These are Molly's glasses, y'all.
They look good with your suit. They're multi-lens. Don't get dizzy. Watch out. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
King James keeps climbing the record books, and it is impressive, gentlemen, passing Karl Malone over the weekend, second on the all-time scoring list. So that got us thinking, Big Perk. Who's the greatest scorer of all time?
Oh, you know what? LeBron James is top five, but when I go with the greatest scorer of all time, I'm going with Kevin Durant. And here's why. When you talk about a guy that has zero flaws offensively, Kevin Durant has everything and more in his offensive arsenal. He has the mid-range. He has the post-up. He has the handle to the hezzy pull-up tray ball. See, here's the difference between KD and everyone else. Yes, he's 6'11", 7 foot, but his jump shot, his efficiency. The other night, he had 38 points on 15 shots, and he does those things on the regular. If Kevin Durant really wanted to, he could have about 10 to 11 scoring titles. Just remember, he sacrificed a lot when he went to Golden State to play with Steph and Klay. But Kevin Durant, when it comes to a guy that gets buckets at an efficient level, has zero flaws, I'm taking him all day as my greatest scorer of all time.
I don't. And I think that Kevin Durant is one
That's
of the
your
greatest.
Problem.
I think that Kevin Durant is one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game, and he could very well go down as the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. But, Uncle Perk, I would tell you that the reason I respectfully disagree, of course I'm going to call you Uncle Perk from now on, but Uncle Perk, I can tell you, even though I'm older, I can tell you that the reason I feel strongly about this is because of something you just articulated that needs to be highlighted. Kevin Durant could quote, if he wanted to. So you're talking about ability. I'm talking about mentality. Kevin Durant's ability, as far as I'm concerned, is unrivaled. Jordan wasn't 6'11". Jordan didn't have a 7'6 wingspan. Jordan's a career 32% shooter from three-point range. Back in the day, the game was far more physical, and a lot of stuff was going on in the interior as opposed to folks jacking up three-point shots all over the place the way they do in today's game. So we get that things are different. But Jordan's ability to finish at the basket, Jordan's ability with his mid-range game, Jordan being having the aerial assault that he had that was unrivaled, Jordan playing in a far more physical era, etc., still is a career 30-point-per-game scorer who, by the way, played at arguably the most physical time in basketball. So when you look at what he brought to the table, he was still a 49% shooter from the field. And his mentality was that of an assassin. You're talking about Kevin Durant's ability. I'm saying, mentally speaking, he doesn't mind being deferential. I remember when Kyrie and KD first arrived in Brooklyn, and Kyrie pointed out how that's the first time that he was playing with a dude that he had ultra confidence in him taking the last shot instead of Kyrie himself. And they laughed about it all that stuff because we know that KD could finish because he's that elite. He's that lethal. But when you talk about being a scorer, mentality can't be ignored. You got to want it all the time. He wants it in key moments. He doesn't run for the moment. But he doesn't mind being deferential. And I think that's the difference.
No, but Stephen A., what I'm saying is that when he went to Golden State, he really had no choice but to kind of defer and buy into their system.
I agree with that.
Right? He had to share the wealth. I'm not saying that he couldn't have took over the team, but he went there to ultimately win the championship. That's what I was talking about. Because KD has the mindset. And listen, this is no knock or disrespect to Russell Westbrook. But if you could win four scoring titles playing alongside Russell Westbrook, you're a problem. You are a serious problem when it comes to getting
buckets. I agree with that.
And there's no knock on Russ. We're just talking about Russ and his alpha dog mentality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
that.
When I look at
especially
KD,
back then.
And here's my counter to you about Jordan. Jordan was never part of the 50, 40, 90 club. You know why? Because he didn't shoot the tray ball like that.
No,
see,
he
KD
didn't.
Does.
But nobody did back
that's
then.
Larry Bird was part of it.
But look at the volume. He could do it, but the amount of attempts, if you compare that to guys in today's game, is different because the game was played differently back then. That's all I'm saying.
All right, we got to leave it there. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton. He's the consummate pro.
We'll see how the 4-3 and the cover 3 work together.
John Clayton with the latest.
Thanks, Dan. Take care.
From the NFL, Drew Brees answers the $100 million question. Rejuvenated Alex Smith talks about
him. Whenever we need a brilliant insight, he's available at the drop of a hat.
One of my favorite SportsCenter commercials of all time. Over the weekend, we lost one of the greats. Former ESPN NFL reporter John Clayton passed away after a brief illness. John joined ESPN in 1995, was across all ESPN platforms, TV, radio, online, print for more than two decades. In 2007, he received the Dick McMahon Memorial Award and was inducted into the writers' wing of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Our thoughts, our prayers are with his wife, Pat, family and friends during this difficult time. And Stephen A., obviously, John Clayton is an institution. What are you going to remember most about John?
Just how thorough he was. In this business that we're in, you know, credibility matters. And when you look at an Adam Schefter, credible. Adrian Wojnarowski, credible. You know, when they speak, you have no choice but to listen because you never know what nuggets of information they're going to be able to bless us with because they're so incredibly connected. John Clayton was one of those people. He's always had information. He always had perspective. He was incredibly, incredibly thorough at his job, a consummate professional, and he was revered in this industry by so many of us because we understand what it takes to get to where he was. And so when you look at the fact that he's gone and he's now departed from us at age 67, your heart goes out to his family and his loved ones because clearly you look at somebody like him and he still had so much to give to all of us in this profession. And so I was incredibly sad to hear the news that he was gone. I had tweeted about it the moment I heard about it over the weekend. I couldn't believe it, but the few, experiences that I had with him on a personal one-on-one level where I interviewed him or what have you, it was always a pleasure to talk to him. And I always walked away knowing far more than I did before the conversation started.
Absolutely. Great guy, consummate professional, and gone far too soon.